Hey, moms, welcome to episode 11. In today's podcast, we're going to be looking at two scriptures in the Old Testament that totally point to Easter. You are not going to want to miss this one. Hello, moms. Welcome to the Front Parking Spot podcast. I am so glad you're here. I'm Jennifer Bosma, wife, mom, grandma, former teacher for 23 years, and now a Christian children's book author and your podcast host. Are you a faith-based mom trying to live out a Christian life for your family? Do you want to learn more ways that you can have power over your child's spiritual growth? Inside this podcast, you will find tried and true ideas to grow in your faith and be the best wife and mom you can be. So listen in as you're cleaning up, doing the drive, or matching that sock, and be encouraged to know that God has his front parking spot set aside for you. Hey, moms, welcome to episode 11 of the Front Parking Spot podcast. This is Easter weekend. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year because this is the definition of Christianity right here and now. This is when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. This is the main meaning behind being a Christian, and that is why I love celebrating Easter so much every year. Because you know what I like about it? I love looking back into the Bible and seeing all the places where Jesus's life and suffering and death and resurrection was predicted in the Bible. The more you read the Bible, the more you can see parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is constantly pointing towards Jesus. It is just the coolest thing to learn, I think. I get so excited when I sit down and actually read scripture. One thing I wanted to share with you, some of the places in the Old Testament where Jesus's life, death, resurrection is predicted. Let's start with this. Let's start with Psalm 22. This is so cool. I have learned that Psalm 22 was written 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, and it was written 300 years before crucifixion was invented by the Persians. So when Psalm 22 was written, they didn't even know what crucifixion was. It is amazing. The first line, Psalm 22, verse 1, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And this is repeated by Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 46, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is so cool in itself that this is the exact words that Jesus said at his crucifixion, and it was written in Psalm 22. Another really cool tie-in between Psalm 22 and what Jesus went through is also in Psalm 22, and it's verse 18. It's talking about, I can count on my bones, they look and stare at me, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This exactly was also written in Luke 23:24. The tie-ins between the old and the new, no one can make that up. It is very, very, very convincing. So many scholars, there's been a lot of people who are like, oh, no, I am going to do all I can. They spend a whole life work trying to debunk the Bible, and then they can't. And they turn into becoming Christians from their excessive research on trying to disprove the Bible. And the more they dig, the more they cannot disprove it. That is why this book has been around for 2,000 years. So amazingly cool. And another fun fact, a lot of you probably already know this, but we have, you know, I like to say Jesus splits time. He splits time because BC, we have BC and AD. BC stands for before Christ. That is so cool. You research BC and it's before Christ. AD is Anno Domini, and that is year of our Lord, referring to the years of Christ's birth. So that, if you've ever thought of that, BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. I mean, he has split time between BC and AD. So what I would recommend for the first scripture for you to really study in your quiet time, or when you're just kind of reflecting and want to even talk to your kids at dinner about Easter, if you pull out Psalm 22, you're going to see all these tie-ins in the Psalms about that. In Psalm 22, verse 27, it says, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Right there, then and there in Psalm 22, he is sharing the mission of the church, which is the Great Commission. And at the end of that verse, in verse 31, it says, "They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this." This is so cool because this is talking about the future, and the future is us. This was written by David, and the title of it is "The Suffering, Praise, and Posterity of the Messiah." So this was written, like I said before, 1,000 years before Jesus. Now let's take a look at the next very, very cool Old Testament scripture of Isaiah 53. Now in Isaiah 53, this was written 700 years before Jesus, and this is the prophecy of Jesus. This is crazy that this was written so far before he was even born. Open this book up and just take a read of it. There's so many lines in there. In the very beginning, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. Surely he has borne our griefs and he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Here's the big line. "For he was wounded for our transgressions, which is sins, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed." He died instead of us by taking the stripes, and the stripes are actually the whip marks on his back. And that's when they talk about by his stripes, because his whole back had all kinds of stripes from the reeds that they used to whip him. In Isaiah, it also talks about all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It also talks about how he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This goes on to say that is a really cool thing, and a lot of people don't realize it. I mentioned this in my last podcast when we were talking about turning in the acronym of Bible and L being lambs. Back then, when you would do some kind of sin, the only way to be forgiven was to take an unblemished animal. There was many offerings. There was guilt offerings. There was sin offerings. There were burnt offerings. There were all kinds of different offerings that people had to do when they did something wrong. And so this is why it talks about he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And by him taking the beatings and by him being the ultimate sacrifice, that is why we don't need to sacrifice anymore. That is a huge knowledge point for people to really understand, because that he took all of our sins. He took every sin that we did, and he took our sins on him when he died. And that is why we all can have eternal life, because if we didn't, there is no way we're good enough to get into heaven. We are not perfect. Jesus was perfect, and he took our sins so that we can be forgiven and we can have eternal life with him in heaven. At the very end of Isaiah 53, it talks about, "Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." A transgressor is a person who sins, and he made the intercession between God the Father so that we can have eternal life. So, mamas, take a look with your family, open up Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, and just read it and just discuss it with your kids. It is so cool. And that's what's so great about Easter, is because we can look at scriptures. Two of these, for example, there's many other places that this is talked about. And, you know, back and forth, you can see the tie-ins between the Old and the New Testament. That's why I say to study the Old Testament, it so points to Jesus. You can never renounce the Bible, because interwoven with truth from the Old to the New to all the different scriptures of unrelated people saying the same reports. Another fun thing to talk at your dinner tables was a little Q&A. It's really fun to research the Q&A, like resurrection Q&A, and you find so many neat facts out. So here's a question, and we can see what if your kids know the answer to this. Who was the first person to see Jesus on Easter Sunday early in the morning? That answer is Mary Magdalene. She was the first one to go to the tomb, and she found the stone rolled away. And she kind of walked up into the tomb, and this is how I understand it through scripture. And when she went there, she saw a man, and she thought it was the gardener, but the gardener was really Jesus. And he said Mary Magdalene's name, and she turned and was like, whoa, this is you, Jesus. This is you, my Lord. There's a very, very cool, my daughters went to Israel a couple years ago, and there's two spots where they believe the tomb was. Now, we know in scripture he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and he was a very wealthy man who gave up his tomb so that Jesus could be buried there. There's two locations, but my girl said that when they went to the garden tomb, which is right outside of the Garden of Gethsemane, they said it just radiated what they have felt was the garden tomb. I will put a picture on my website because it is gorgeous, and it's what I think of too when I think of the tomb. But there are two locations that they kind of go back and forth as to the exact location. There's also two locations too where the crucifixion happened. They do not know the exact location. There are two places that people visit. And when my daughters went there, they kind of felt in their heart where the actual location was because they could kind of feel the Holy Spirit that came upon them when they were viewing it. So, and I think that's really cool that in history that they don't know the exact spot, because if they knew it, then there'd be shrines put up and there would be all kinds of churches built on it. And in some of the locations, there are churches built on it. But I think it's cool that God kind of keeps some of that to be a mystery. Okay, the next question is, who was the disciple who wanted to see the nail marks? Who was that disciple? Well, that disciple was Doubting Thomas. He was Thomas the Apostle. And Jesus says in John 20:28, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. That was John 20:29. So another really cool thing is after Jesus died and he was resurrected, many, many people saw him. I really like the story that is in Luke on the road to Emmaus. Two disciples are walking down the road. They're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus was walking with them, and he's explaining prophecies in the Old Testament, and they're hanging out and talking. And they didn't realize it was him until they went and broke bread together. And then their eyes were open and they're like, oh my gosh, my Lord, you are here. That was one of the mentioned ones. There's so many. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is on a mountain and he is giving, you know, with the Great Commission. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus ate with them to demonstrate his physical presence. He also was in rooms. He would show up in rooms. And he was on the earth for 40 days giving the Great Commission. And he's telling his followers to go and make disciples of all the nations. And then, you know, then we had the ascension 40 days later when he left the Holy Spirit to us, when he physically left earth and went to sit at the right hand of his Father. So these are just some really cool things I wanted to share with you, some Easter facts and some things that we kind of can overlook. But if you just open that Bible, dust it off, get it out, and just really examine Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, read it with your family and read it with your kids. And, you know, the other thing I really wanted to share, that when we have Jesus in our life, we have contentment. Without Jesus, we're never satisfied. We're always looking for the next best thing to make us happy, whether it's a house, whether it's a trip, whether it's a career, whether it's some kind of fame. And the only true happiness and joy that we can get is having Jesus in our life. And because he creates our hearts, and our hearts need to have him in it. And if he is not in our life, then we cannot be fully content. And so moms and your families this Easter, really see if you can click it up to the highest level and really kind of just take a look at Jesus in your life and share these stories with your kids and have some great conversations about the wonderful miracle of Easter that goes way beyond the bunnies and the jelly beans and all the cutesy things and the spring flowers and the Easter lilies and all that. It is about Jesus, the crux of our entire Christian foundation. Moms, thank you so much for being with me today. I am going to be doing a Bible study. It's going to be a Bible refresh at the end of April. This is going to be in my show notes, and it's also on jenniferbosma.com. If you're interested in delving a little bit deeper for 3 days, just go ahead and check that out. It's on April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Check it out, and we're going to be doing a little Bible study for an hour each day, and it's just going to take us to the next level so we can grow closer in our walk. Mamas, I hope you have a wonderful Easter as you grow closer to our Lord. God bless. Well, mamas, thank you so much for joining in. I know you are super busy doing all the things that can consume your day, but you took a couple of minutes to learn how God wants to build you up in your faith, family, and life, and He wants to applaud you for this. Please subscribe and review my show. This helps other moms tune in as well. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram at Front Parking Spot, on Facebook at Front Parking Spot Mom Community, or my website at jenniferbosma.com. Have an Ephesians 3:20 type of day, mamas, and be encouraged as you go for the front parking spot in your life today. God bless.